Well, it's great to be here with you this morning, and I'm totally excited about what we get to be talking about, because this month is our Take It Home month. And what we've wanted to do is continue our series of Back to Basics by talking about what some of the basic things we do, what some of the basic things we do are in our church. Does that make sense? What are some of the things you get to see quite often that we do as a church, and why is it that we do them? Because some of the stuff we do, we just do it, and you kind of don't ever stop to think about, well, why? What's the significance of that? And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about baptism and what baptism is all about. And we took time to let the kids and everyone else, if they wanted to, come up and check out the water there behind the wall that's kind of right there underneath the cross. And you can see the baptismal tank, and we talked all about what that's about. Last week, we talked about what it's like to be on God's team, talked about being a member here at Lakewood Alliance Church. So what is that about? And today, we get to talk about communion, or sometimes we might call it the Lord's Supper, or coming to the Lord's table, all different ways that we use to describe what communion is. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But how I want to start this off today was just to do a little bit of brainstorming with you, because I love the flip chart. And we might even try a little bit of drawing this morning, kids. We'll see how that goes. So last week, we had a very special celebration day. Can anyone tell me what it was? What did we celebrate last Sunday? What was important about last Sunday? Remembrance Day. That's absolutely right. Last Sunday was Remembrance Day. Now, what can you guys tell me about Remembrance Day? Why is it important? What do we do? What do we wear? What's important about Remembrance Day? We wear poppies. You know what? I don't have a red, so I'm going to do this in purple, if that's okay. I don't know if that's okay. I hope that's okay. Here we go. So we're going to go like that, and it kind of goes like that, and like that, and like that, and then my drawings are bad. Just, you know. A little bit of grace would be good. We're in church. Okay, and then it has, you know, the little flower in the middle with the dot. Okay, so we put on a poppy, right? Everyone wears a poppy leading up to and then for Remembrance Day. Now, why do we do that? What's Remembrance Day about? Why are we doing those things? Yeah, Landon. To remember, okay, so I write down some of the words you put, because these are important words. So remember, and we're remembering the soldiers, right, who fought for our freedom, right? Freedom is a great word in that. Okay? That's kind of messy. Okay, anything else? What do we do on Remembrance Day? What does it look like? Yeah, Elliot. We have a moment of silence. Yeah, so we have a time of quiet, right? Yep. And during that time, we usually just take time to remember, right? And to honor them. Yeah, right over here. That's okay. All the kids are given all the answers anyways. I don't know. The adults apparently don't know what Remembrance Day is about. So that's a little sad, but any adult have an answer? What do we do on Remembrance Day? Come on, you guys. We remember. Thank you. Let's put a box around that, because that's kind of a key part of it. Okay, good. What are the things we do on Remembrance Day? Where do you go? What do you do? Yeah, Perry. So I don't know, can everyone hear that? What Perry was actually talking about is when he was a kid, they would go and see his grandpa, who did fight in World War II. And then once he passed on, now they have a video of photos of his grandpa when he was overseas, just to be able to think about their family connection and be able to remember the significance of that and what it's meant for your family, how it's defined your family, which is amazing. So even thinking about some of our family connections when it comes to remembrance, right? How we've had family who have probably been a part of some of those world wars that we do remember on Remembrance Day. So here's what I want to do. So Remembrance Day, there's a couple key things that come out of this. And, you know, I was actually on the Legion website this week, and I don't know if you know much about the Legion, but they're basically an organization that helps us to remember. They're tasked with helping us as a country to never forget what's happened as far as some of the horrors of war and those who have gone to fight for our freedom. And as I was on there, it's so fascinating to me because, you know, as Canadians, sometimes we get a little bit, just about Canada, right? But Canada had a pretty major impact on some other countries in the world, especially around the time of World War II. And Canada was very instrumental with their soldiers in liberating some of the countries in Europe. Specifically, one is Holland. The Canadians came to liberate. And so on the Legion website, this is what it actually says. In Holland, a maple leaf, which of course is a symbol of our country, on your car is a passport to incredible hospitality and gratitude. Holland was liberated by the Canadians in World War II, and today even the youth feel an intense sense of gratitude. And this is what one Dutch student actually wrote. It's called A Dutch Student Speaks. I am 17. I was not born until after the war. I am able to go to school. I have a buzz bike. I'm not sure what a buzz bike is, but he has one. I have parents. I have never gone hungry. I don't know what war is. What is hunger? What is a concentration camp? What is a razzia? What is a bomb? What is fear? I know we are free. I know who liberated us. I know what they sacrificed. Thanks a million for our freedom. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's two pieces in that I think are so significant when we think about Remembrance Day. And those two pieces, first, obviously, to remember, right? It's important on Remembrance Day that we remember the sacrifice of the soldiers who went to pay the price for our freedom. Okay? That's the first piece. But the second piece, and it's a little more subtle, it's a little more but the second part is that we really celebrate on Remembrance Day as well, because we get to celebrate the freedom that we get to enjoy because of what those people have sacrificed for us. And it's important for us to remember not just their sacrifice, but to truly treasure what we have. And so it's an incredible opportunity to not just remember, but to be able to celebrate. Now, the reason we talk about that this morning is because to me, Remembrance Day and what it represents in these two things is an incredible parallel for what communion is all about. An opportunity both to remember and to celebrate. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes as Pastor Don comes to talk to us about what the Bible has to say about communion. But what I want to do as we kind of prepare for that time, as we prepare to think about, you know, that sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that we remember, the sacrifice he made of his life, and as we think about celebrating the freedom and new life that we have in him, as we think about those things, we have a little task for you to do. And you can do this either, you know, during the time that we're doing some of the teaching time today, or there'll be a chance to do something with it a little bit later on in the service. But here's what it is. We're going to be handing out to you. The ushers are going to bring these up just as I'm talking here. You're each going to receive a cross that looks like this, okay? And on one side, it is red. The other side, it's white, okay? So here's what we would like you to do. On the red side, either write or draw or however you'd like to express yourself, what are the things that you have done that have broken the heart of God or have broken the heart of other people? Basically, what are the things you've done maybe that are sin in your life? What are some of them? I mean, you may not be able to fit them all in. I kind of had to squeeze a few in there. But what are the things that we have done that are wrong in God's eyes or have broken relationships or all those things? However you want to represent that on there, I'm going to leave that totally up to you. But what is some of the sin in your life, okay, that Jesus came to pay the price for? On the other side, it's white. And on the white side, what I want you to do is, again, to either draw or write or somehow show what it's like to celebrate. Okay? What is it like to celebrate? Or what does it feel like to have new life and freedom because of what Jesus has done for you? What does it feel like? What is that experience like to know that because of his sacrifice, we are free? Okay? So red side, our sin. White side, what it means to you to live free. Does that make sense? Okay, so sometime during the service, just as you're thinking about it, as a word stands out to you, just write it down on there. It's a little hard to write on the red, just to let you know. There's a lot of toner on there. So just, you know, do your best. If you can't see it too much, that's okay. But just write on there those two things, okay? Either side. And we're going to get you to do something with that a little bit later on in the service, all right? But right now, Pastor Don's going to come and talk to us a little bit more about what it means to come to the Lord's table.
Trying to make sure that this side can see me too, but I don't want to stand on the stairs so I'd probably fall off the stairs. I know me and how I work. My first experience with communion happened one afternoon in my home. My dad, with my mom there at the table, sat my sister and I down at the table in our dining room and explained what communion was and why we do it, why we sit quietly sometimes, what we're thinking about when our eyes are closed, why we wait, what the whole process of communion is like. You know, and I was so thrilled to be able to do that. I felt like my faith had finally grown up enough where I could take part in something that I had watched a lot. It was a thing that sticks in my memory to this day. I don't know what you remember about your first communion experience. Maybe you don't remember it. Maybe you do remember it, and it's because the person beside you was doing communion, and so you followed what they did and then passed it along. Or maybe someone sat and explained to you what communion is, and it was an important part of your faith journey. Or maybe you haven't done communion yet, and that's okay. So where did communion come from, and why do we do it? Well, in some ways, communion started a long time ago with a group of slaves in a land far, far away. It was the Israelites who were about to be set free. See, they were living in Egypt under the oppression of the Egyptians, under Pharaoh, under his slave masters, telling them moment by moment and day by day what they were going to do, how they were going to do it, what their life was going to be lived like. And it was into that darkness and into that oppression that God sent Moses to free his people. And after many signs and wonders of God's things that he could do, the final sign that caused Pharaoh essentially to kick the Israelites out of his country, the one that caused him and his countrymen so much pain, was the death of their firstborn children. And yet the slaves, God's people, didn't lose their firstborn sons. Why? Because God had commanded them to take a lamb, to sacrifice it, and to put the blood on the doorposts of their houses. And when the angel of death passed over, he would see the blood on the doorposts of their houses, and he would pass over their houses. He told them then to hold a feast once a year to celebrate God's deliverance of them. Remember how we got you out of here. Remember that I saved you. Remember that I took you out of this place of slavery and into this freedom. And it was a space where we could talk from generation to generation about what God had done. So those that knew would teach the new generation coming up what God had done in that place. In some sense, Jesus grew up celebrating Passover, obviously, every year. We know he was in Jerusalem at 12. It was part of his life and what he did. But on the last Passover that Jesus did, he took the meal of Passover and he changed it. He made it something new. In Matthew 26, we read that Jesus, during the meal, took the bread and broke it, which was nothing new. That was the beginning of the Passover feast. And yet he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and blessed it and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now remember, the symbolism of blood wasn't new. The Israelites had put the blood on their doorposts of their houses to protect them from what God was about to do to the Egyptians. In a sense, it was an agreement or a covenant. God said, "If you do this, I will spare you." And the Israelites, out of faith and belief of what God was about to do, did it. And they were spared. An agreement between two parties of what would happen. In a sense, what Jesus did that day began a new agreement, a new covenant. His blood would be what would protect us from the destruction we so rightly deserved, if we believed, if we would enter that agreement with him. See, in some ways, we're just like the Israelites, back in slavery. Without Jesus, we live in slavery to sin. Like the Israelites of old who were born into slavery, they didn't have a choice. We are born into slavery to our sin. And sometimes it feels like we are told what to do, when to do, and how to do it by this sin in our lives. And then Jesus came. And through his sacrifice and through the shedding of his blood, he became our lamb. He became our blood that covers us and protects us, our payment for sin. You know, Paul in Colossians 1, 19 to 22 sums this up really well. So we're going to read that. Maybe. I can read it without the screen, which is good. We'll go there. It says this: "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." What Jesus did that night was to shift the Passover celebration. Rather than looking back to the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, we now get to look back to God's deliverance of all mankind through what Jesus did. Communion is a celebration of our deliverance. We get to celebrate the freedom from sin because of what he has done in our lives. We enter that agreement. "I believe that what you have done will save me from my sin," and he agrees to cover us. So what should communion look like? When we come to the table, what should we be thinking about? What should we be considering? Well, when Paul talked about communion in 1 Corinthians 11, he addresses what a body of believers that celebrate communion together should be thinking about. Now, we're not going to go into super detail on 1 Corinthians 11, but read it. It's there. But here's some of the things he said. First, he admonished the Corinthians to celebrate communion in unity. Do not celebrate communion when you are divided. Deal with those things. Second, it was not to be a way to show who had more and who had less in the community. Often when they came together, they would bring what they had to share with each other, and some of them would leave with fullness of tummies because they'd brought so much food, and some of them would still go away hungry. It wasn't okay. Communion was supposed to be a space where we were together, where we were equal as one. And it wasn't to be a way of getting full either. Communion is food, but it's much more than just food. Communion was to be a time of reflection, and a time of searching the heart, a time spent thinking about the things that we have been saved from and thinking about our lives and whether or not they honor the body of Christ. It was interesting. I looked up that word body, and body there can be a literal word or it can be a figurative word. It would seem to me that in the context of what Paul's talking about, all about unity, because the next chapter he talks about living together as the body, part of our examination on some level must be about how we live together in community. When we come to the table together, are we able to come before the Lord knowing that we have sought unity with each other? It may not be perfect. We may still be working on it. But are we willing to say that we are working together in a way that honors Christ? And the warnings that Paul gives about choosing not to do this are pretty intense. It's costly not to consider these things. We must spend time in thoughtful consideration, time pondering the greatness of Jesus' sacrifice for us, thinking about whether or not our lives honor the Lord. But when we do, it's out of that that that's when the celebration begins. We are so moved to be so very thankful for what he has done for us, to stand in wonder of the immense grace that God has given us. Communion is remembrance. Over here. Communion is thoughtful action, time spent considering our need for a Savior, reflection on the sacrifice that Jesus made, consideration of our heart's motives, and thoughtfulness about how we live in community with each other. And communion is worship. I am so grateful that you saw me, that you died for me, that you live in my heart, all because you wanted relationship with me. How can you not be excited about that? Communion allows us that space to do that. So communion is celebration. It is a celebration of what God has done, is doing, and is going to do. We'll ask Pastor Dave to come up now.
All right, so that truly is what communion is about. Now, one of the big things about what we've wanted to do this month is make sure that we're taking time to reflect on what is truly important about some of the things that we're doing with this stuff. When it comes to baptism, what is actually significant and what is not significant? And the way I've been kind of describing that is we want to make sure the mystery of what it is we're doing stays in the right place. And by saying that, we want the mystery of what we do when we come to the table and we have communion not to be about how we do it. We don't want the mystery to be about, well, gee, why is it that we use certain dishes? Or why is it that Pastor Dave prays or says something beforehand or whatever? We want the mystery to be about what Jesus actually did for us. We want that to be what's significant, not the way we do it. And so here's what we're going to do just for a couple minutes. And we're going to brainstorm again a little bit because that's what I do. I like this. So what do you notice about how we do communion? What do you see? What do you taste? What do you hear? What are the things that you notice when we do communion as a church?
Everybody waits to eat at work.
Everybody waits. Okay. Everybody waits and eats at once. Yep, for sure. What else? We read out of the Bible, yeah. We read Bible. What else? Yeah, way in the back. We pray, that's true. We do pray. Yeah, that's a part of what we do. What else do we do? I saw another hand sort of towards the back there. Anyone? We sing. Yeah, we totally do. We sing. Yep.
We eat bread and we drink grape juice.
Yes, we... Thank you, yep. We eat bread and we drink grape juice because we don't do wine here. Sorry, I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm just trying to stir the pot. Okay, those are some really good things. Those are definitely things we do. We take time for a little bit of quiet, right? We usually give some time of just kind of quiet reflection maybe. There's time where we talk. There's time where we pray. There's time where we do all these different things. Now, one of the things we do, too, is we use, like I said, we use some special dishes usually when we have communion, right? And depending on the type of communion that we're doing, we use different ones. So I just wanted to bring those out. And, right? Sometimes see these, right? We hand this around. Yeah, recognize this? Seen these before? Okay. And sometimes we also hand around one that looks like this. Yeah? Okay. Yeah? Okay, good. And sometimes we also do a different kind of communion where we don't actually hand it out. Because sometimes we have the elders, like to have our leadership in the church be able to serve you communion. But sometimes we actually ask you to come up to the front. And so instead of handing out these little bits of bread that you can take one out of the plate and the little cup that you get to take one of those, we have you come up to the front instead, and then you take sometimes a little strip of bread instead of just a little chunk of bread, and we get you to dip that in the cup, right, and then flip it over, and then you eat it. Which actually, I found out, about a year ago, that actually has a special name for it. When you do that kind of communion, it's intinction. That's actually what it's called. I always used to call it the dip and flip. Sorry. Bad pastor moment. Okay. Again, I'm not trying to take away from what this meal represents. What I am trying to make sure we understand, though, is what's truly important about it. Okay? Now, what I want to do is I'm going to invite the kids to come on up, because I want to show you guys this stuff. Actually, I got a couple more things to show you as well. I'm going to just grab these here, too. See if I can carry all this at once without dropping anything, because that wouldn't be so great. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Come on up to the front, guys. And I just want to show you a few things that we use for communion, okay? So like I said, we have this plate, right? I was going to start passing this around. You guys can just touch this. Hold that. You guys notice anything special about that plate? It's kind of nice and silver and shiny, right? That's kind of cool. Anything else special about it? What makes that plate special, do you think? What do you think makes it special? It is kind of like a bowl. That's true. It's almost like some people might call it like a soup plate. Like it kind of has a little, you could probably put soup in that kind of depth, yeah? But it's just a metal plate, right? How about this one? You notice anything cool about that? Yeah, Zach, what's cool about this? It's not cool? Okay. It's not really that cool? It's kind of silver again, right? It's got that. Whoops. It even comes apart. I was going to tell you that. Comes apart. I don't know if you guys knew this. These things come apart. Yeah, that comes right out. Because there can be times where we actually spill the grape juice. And you have to wash. And can you imagine trying to wash it if you had to fit a cloth through those holes to try and wash the bottom? That'd be a little tricky, right? So we can just take that right off, and you can wash it, and you can do whatever. Now, Pastor Dave, when I've been serving communion, I've never wiped out and spilled a whole tray of this stuff. Not yet. We're hoping that keeps going. Okay, so you guys can pass this one around, too, and just touch that. You guys can just hold on to that and have a look. Now, when we do the one that we call intinction, where we dip it in, sometimes we'll use a cup that looks like this. We have a couple of these downstairs as well. In my office, I also have one that's pottery. It's kind of brownish with some other colors in it. It's a pottery one. We've used that one before as well as the little pottery plate I have. So this is another thing we can use for communion sometimes. So you guys can hand that around, too, and just have a feel and touch of that.
I don't like this.
You don't like this one? It's hot. Well, that's because everyone's been passing it around, and body heat stays with it. So now it's going to have to get washed, probably. Probably. So that's one of the trays we use. So we use these different trays, and we use these cups, but by themselves, they're really nothing special, right? As a plate, I mean, sure, they have kind of a cool thing where you can put all the little cups in that one, but it's just a tray. We actually keep them in one of the cupboards in the kitchen. I don't know if you guys knew that. That's where we actually have them. They don't have like a special cupboard up, you know, behind the cross. There's no special place these hang out. They actually hang out in the kitchen. And when we have people come to prepare communion, they come here and they take a loaf of bread that looks just like this. This is actually the one we used last night when we had communion as the Saturday night service. And some of this was actually a whole loaf before Saturday night. Now it's not, right? They just cut off some pieces of this. They take off the crust for you, and they cut it into little pieces. And this is what they put in this plate, right? And that's what we eat. It's a loaf of bread that we bought at Save-On Foods. Do any of you guys shop at Save-On Foods? You might have eaten this bread at home, just maybe. So that's what we eat for the bread. And this is the kind of grape juice we buy. It actually doesn't say holy grape juice on it. It says sun-ripe grape. It's not even Welch's. But this is what we buy, and we serve this out in, and we actually have a little special tool I could have brought up here to show you guys too, so you can actually like put a little bit in each cup, or you can just use a little cup and pour it into each one. But this is the grape juice that we use when we have communion. So tell me here. So what is special about these things? Nothing. Nothing special about them. You guys could run out to Save-On Foods right after church, and you could go buy this stuff and take it home and eat it and drink it. What makes it special? Nothing. If it's just juice and it's just bread, it's just juice and bread. Just like these are just dishes that we use when we come together to eat the bread and drink the juice. I can take that for you, Braden. Oh, you haven't touched it? Okay, you can see it, Dan. That's fine. But these things by themselves are not that special. Now, you guys might notice the table over there. You guys see that table over there? Now, that's the table that we usually put this stuff on, right? We'll have this stuff set on that table, and then when we have communion together, Pastor Dave goes to that table, and I take the big stack of trays of those juice trays, and I hand them out to the elders, and they take them to everyone, and we bring it back up, put it back up there, and drink it together. We do all that stuff. That's the table we use. Is there anything special about that table?
Yes.
What's special about it, Max? What makes it special, do you think?
It's moving.
It is? Oh. Okay. I hope not. Now, there is something pretty cool about that table. Do you guys see the words on the front of it? Can anyone read out to me what that says? In remembrance of me. That's a table that tells us all about remembering Jesus, right? Because when we put these things on there, it's about remembering who he was and what he did for us. Now, you guys can go back and sit down at your seats again. I just want to show you this stuff so you guys could see it and touch it and feel it and just see that by themselves, these things don't mean all that much at all. They're things we can keep in our home or in the church kitchen or wherever. Because what's important about communion is not the stuff we use to have communion. What's important about communion is that in the act of eating the bread and drinking the juice, we are remembering Jesus. We're remembering what he did for us on this cross, not the specific cross, but the one he died on. And we're celebrating that when we trust him to forgive our sins, we have new life in him. That is what matters about communion. And so, yeah, we do it in a serious way. We don't goof around with it. We don't kind of throw the bread out or whatever. But the reason we don't do that isn't because the bread somehow is special. I mean, the bread, what it represents is special because it represents Jesus' body, just like the juice represents his blood and reminds us of the covenant he made with us, like Pastor Don was talking about. So what we want, again, we want to take away the mystery. It's not about the special plate. It's not about, you know, the time of quiet. It's about, do we remember Jesus and what he did for us? Do we celebrate the new life that we have in him? Because that's what communion is really all about. And that's what we want to make sure we spend some time talking to you guys about today, is making sure that we place the importance on the right thing. It's not important because it seems like this ritual or ceremony that we do together. That's not what makes it important. What makes it important is Jesus, who actually gave us the meal to celebrate together. Now, what we're going to do, we're not having communion today. We're going to do that next week as part of our community weekend. And that's pretty intentional, actually. Part of the reason for that is there may be some of you who have never received communion before at all. And we want to give you a chance to think about that this week. So we're not going to have communion this week, but we will be having it next week, as we always do as a part of our community weekend service. But what we did want to do today, to give you an opportunity just to reflect about what Jesus has done for you and to celebrate that new life, just in a different way, is that in no way replaces communion, okay? This is just to help us understand a little better what communion's about. We want to give you a chance to take the cross that we gave you a little bit earlier. And if you haven't quite finished yet, that's okay, because in a minute here, we're going to have the worship team come up and lead us in a few songs, so there's a little bit of time while they're doing that to finish us off, if you'd like. And we want to invite you to take the cross that you wrote on one side, the sins from your life, that we, when we ask Jesus to forgive us, when we ask for his life to be our life, he comes to forgive these sins, right? And on the other side where you wrote what it means to celebrate and have new life in him. And we want you to bring that cross up to the big cross. And in a sense, nail it to the cross. Because we're told in Scripture that all of our sins basically have been nailed to the cross with Jesus. And so what we want you to do is actually take your cross, and there's the tacks just at the bottom of the cross up here. You can find there. And take your cross, and we want you to put it against this cross with the red side against the cross, because our sins have been nailed to the cross. And now what we see and experience is new life. We don't experience the guilt and shame of those sins anymore. They've been nailed to the cross with Jesus. And now we see and experience the new life we have in him. So we're going to take our cross and put it up against this cross, red side against the cross, because that sin has been dealt with by what Jesus did for us. And the new life that we have is what shines out. And so as the worship team leads us in a few songs, we're just going to invite you to come and put your cross against the cross, just as a way of giving God thanks for sending his son to do that for you. And after a few songs and a chance you've had to come do that, then Pastor Don will come up and talk to us about how you can take this home this week. But I'm going to invite you to stand as the worship team leads us as well. And just as you're ready, they're going to lead us in a few songs. So as you're ready, feel free to come on up and bring your cross with you.
Share. Thank you.
You may be seated. So one of the things that we like to do on a take-it-home weekend is to give you something to literally take home. Part of why we have these conversations together with all ages together is to hopefully give us a chance to have this stuff follow up on. Sometimes as a parent, it's really easy to think that my kids are getting things, and maybe they're not. Maybe I just assume that. Maybe it's good to go home and have those conversations. Maybe you're not a parent, but maybe it's great to share what communion means to you in your life group, with people that you hang out with. Talk about those things, because in sharing our story, sharing our testimony with each other, we build into each other. We bless each other. So the communion thing this weekend is really just a sort of a wrap-up thought, the scripture from Colossians again, and then just an encouragement this week. Share communion with somebody. Do it after a meal with your family. Do it in your life groups. Find a space to have communion together in your local body. And as they are handing them out, you know, David and I were just chatting. We should talk about some of the things that we are free, that we get to celebrate. We have freedom, forgiveness, being thankful, happiness, peace, joy, being together, true friendships, faith, purity, security. There are some amazing things that we get to celebrate in our freedom that really just tie into our next song, because we are free. And what an amazing chance this communion to celebrate that every time we come together.
Thanks, Dawn. So maybe you came to church this morning. Sorry, I always do this. And you're not feeling free. Maybe you're still not feeling free. Maybe your neighbor went up quite easily. And they're feeling free, but what's wrong with me? I'm not feeling free. I'm not feeling free in Christ. People don't know what kind of week I had. Maybe you're sitting there thinking that. They don't know the loss I've felt. They don't know the sickness that's around me. They don't know the heavy burden I bear at work. They don't know my relationships and what's going on there. We live in a very difficult, heavy world right now. And it seems that it just is getting heavier and heavier in these days. But how reassuring for us to know that we can come to the cross and God takes us whenever we're ready. Amen. He's there. He's waiting. So if you're not ready for this morning, it's okay. God is ready and he's waiting. And maybe this is a process for you as it is for me. But God wants you to come to him. He cares for you. Even if you feel like you are alone and you know nobody cares for you, know that our redeeming Heavenly Father cares for you. And he loves you. And he will always be there for you. So through that, when you come to that, and when I come to that, and we look in God's word, and we are assured of the freedom we have in Christ, we can sing this next song and be free in Christ and free indeed. So if you want to sing with us this morning, that would be great. Stand and sing. But if you're feeling like, Lord, give me this feeling. I need this freedom. I need this morning. He's there to meet you wherever you're at. You know.
Reminder, if you're interested in decorating, they're having a meeting after the service. Our benediction comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, and this is what it says. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, church.